Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, which you heard read earlier. How often do you check your priorities? Or maybe a better question would be, have you set any priorities in this life? Because you only have so much time and so much energy to get through the day. Life is hard. And you're being pulled in so many different directions at the same time. If you don't set priorities and focus on the most important things, well, you're liable to become distracted and follow the path of least resistance, wasting time and energy on random and unimportant things. But even while you try to keep the important things important in your life, there still are a lot of distractions. And among your top priorities, you need to keep each one of those in mind as to which one is most important. Each one must be addressed in its own time. King Solomon writes, "For everything there is a season and a time for everything under heaven." You don't plant when it's time to harvest. You don't sing and dance and laugh and dance when it's time to mourn and weep. There's a time to work. There's a time to love and serve your neighbor. And there is a time to set and listen to the voice of Jesus. Be served by Jesus. In our gospel text this morning, it's not a parable that pits two sisters against one another to teach us a lesson in right and wrong. No, Mary and Martha are two real women in a real place and time. Martha and her sister Mary show us two different types of hospitality, those who serve and those who receive. Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. He says that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So as he travels toward Jerusalem, he comes into a village and Martha welcomes him into her home. Martha's home could have been your home because you know exactly what it's like to host guests, especially guests that show up without any advance notice. There's work to be done. You hurry around to try to straighten everything up so they don't see the skeletons in your closet. And then there's food to be prepared, and there's a table to be set, and drinks and snacks and so on, and keeping the conversation lively. Like you, this is what Martha does. She devotes herself completely to the many things required to properly serve Jesus. And we can't say that Martha is doing a bad thing or a wrong thing, because what she is doing is indeed a good work. It's good, right, and salutary that she should serve her Lord. And we see a wonderful picture of this in our Old Testament text this morning. The pre-incarnate Christ, along with two angels, appear to Abraham outside his tent. The Lord is bringing them good news that Sarah, in her old age, is finally going to bear the son that has long been promised to them. These two other individuals, the angels, after this instance, they will continue on their way to Sodom, where they will pour out God's judgment and wrath against the city's sinfulness. But Abraham greets the trio with hospitality. He and Sarah get to work. Water to wash the men's feet, a shade tree, so they can rest. Almost 20 quarts of flour for cakes. A tender and good calf from the herd, quickly prepared, served with curds and milk. Nothing but the best, the finest, and the abundance for their guests. And this is the way Martha feels serving her Lord. She knows Jesus is in her house and she wants to serve him. Nothing but the highest and most faithful service for Jesus. But in all her distraction of service, she misses the main point. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And that's where you and I are just like Martha. There is a season and a time for everything under heaven. You try to keep your priorities in focus, desiring to serve Jesus and to seek Jesus. And after that, you go on to love and serve your neighbor as you ought. But oftentimes, you end up serving when you need to sit and receive. Like Martha, you become anxious and distracted because there's so much to do and so little time to do it and not that much energy when you get to the end of the day. In the midst of all your chaos, the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh want to distract you so that you lose sight of what is most important on this side of heaven. They deceive you so that you redefine what it is to be a Christian, what it means to receive your Savior and serve your Lord. Now, even though everything Martha is doing is out of pure love for Jesus, sooner or later, you know, jealous overwhelms her, just like it overwhelms you and I. Mary's not helping. She's sitting there on the floor listening to Jesus. Well, Martha wants to listen too, but she's busy. There's all this other work that needs to be done. And that's how the old Adam works. The sinful nature always wants to get all the work done before taking the time to listen to Jesus. And there's a problem. The devil lets us know that there's always more work and more work to be done. And to be sure, all that work is on your priority list. It is good, right, and salutary that you do all these things because you got to provide for your family, help with the homework, cook the meals, clean the house, mow the lawn, fix the car. The list never ends. And then you got all these neighbors who have wonderful things for you to help with. Like Martha, you become distracted and anxious and pulled in many different directions. And your sinful nature is pulling you anywhere but to the feet of Jesus. Sister Mary is a humble learner sitting at the feet of her teacher, listening and hanging on every word. She's all ears, you might say. Every time Jesus speaks, she hangs on every word. But to Martha, this seems pretty selfish of Mary. In your anxiety and trouble, just like Martha, you and I also have times when we get fed up with others, get fed up with God. Why, God, in your infinite wisdom, have you given me such a heavy load to carry? And then why are all these other people around here not carrying their part of the load? Because we all have our load to carry. Well, just as Jesus calls Martha to repentance, a gentle nudge of repentance, he calls to you and me with his tender voice, saying, "Dear Christian, Christian, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Martha and her sister Mary teach us two different types of hospitality. There are those who serve and those who receive. And for the Christian, it is impossible to serve God until he has first served you. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your works. He doesn't need your praises and your songs. But he loves you first. And he wants to serve you in his gospel. He wants to serve you in his sacraments. Now, in our text, Martha has either forgotten or misunderstood why Jesus came to the house. She needed to stop doing and start listening. She needed to stop serving and start receiving from her Lord, because there is only one true thing that is necessary, and that is to sit at the feet of the Lord and to receive. He's not come into her home to be served, but to serve. He came to preach and proclaim the gospel, to make known the love of the Heavenly Father, revealing all his mercy and his forgiveness. And quite likely, later on in the conversation, Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. Scripture doesn't tell us, but he probably told them why he's on his way to Jerusalem, his innocent suffering and death for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind. Then 3 days later, be raised from the dead for our justification. And then all these years later, today, seated at the right hand of God, Jesus has all authority, and he brings you his sacrificial work. Through his sacrificial work on your behalf, he has made peace between God and you. Jesus is your peace, and he is your salvation. So what is it to receive Jesus? Well, to receive Jesus is to believe his word and also receive the one who has sent him. His word is the one thing necessary. It is the good portion. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the one thing necessary. It is God's good work in Christ Jesus for you. And he does it right here in the divine service. The divine service, really, we call it the divine service. It's God's service for you. And what is your primary posture in service? You have the posture of Mary, not of Martha. You come to your Lord as a beggar, with nothing, a poor, miserable sinner in need of divine service. You sit at the feet of your Savior, and you listen, passively receiving the blessings of God. His word is objective. It does what it says. Our Lord speaks, and you listen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word bestows upon you exactly what it says. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And then your God-given faith receives these precious gifts. And then we acknowledge those gifts received with our eager songs and praises, giving thankfulness to God, the giver of all good things. But in the real world, much of your anxiety on mine is not because of our sin, the fear of death and the devil, but because, like Martha, we choose the wrong portion. Now, it is true, you cannot choose Jesus. You cannot, by your own reason or strength, believe in Jesus or come to him. You cannot choose anything at all to save yourself, but you can choose to be among the one thing necessary. You can choose the good portion to listen to the life-saving gospel of Christ Jesus. For it is the power of God for salvation. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing the one thing necessary, the words of Christ. Because where the word is proclaimed, that is where the Holy Spirit calls you to faith, bestows upon you all his gifts, and sanctifies you, keeps you in the true faith. Martin Luther once put it this way. Excuse me. Martin Luther put it this way. He writes, "A king gives you a castle. If you do not receive it, then it's not the king's fault, nor is he guilty of a lie. But you have deceived yourself, and the fault is yours. The king certainly gave you a castle." There's time to work. There's a time to love and serve your neighbor. But there's also a time to sit at the feet of the Master. Sit at the feet of Jesus and be served by him, because he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. And today in this place, as you know, you wouldn't be here if you didn't already know it. Today and every day, he comes to you right here in the divine service to serve you in his word and sacrament. Because this is the place where the king bestows upon you his kingdom, his forgiveness, and his salvation. So choose the good portion. Choose to be where Jesus promises to be among two or three gathered in his name. Choose to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of Jesus, for it is the good portion. It is the one thing necessary to deliver you out of all of your anxiety, out of all your trouble, and the many things that distract you and pull you anywhere except to the feet of your Savior. When you listen to the proclaimed word of God, whether here in the divine service or in Bible study or in your home devotions, even when you sit in your bed at night and read, you are receiving the one thing necessary. It is the good portion. It is the riches and treasures of heaven, which cannot be taken away from you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.